Hi, welcome to the Love Your Lens podcast. I'm Jane and I'm going to talk to you today about setting photography goals in 2021. We've started the year in lockdown here in the UK, in England, and I'm sure the case is the same for many of you in lots of different countries. And it's very easy to feel stuck and unmotivated when we can't go anywhere different and when the weather's pretty awful as well. But this could also be a fantastic opportunity to work on your photography. And one of my mantras during this period of time, during lockdown last year and now, not just with my photography, but in lots of areas, is to not see this as a time where our lives are on pause and it would be easy to waste this time. And perhaps it's a little bit of a cliche, but instead of just surviving these difficult times, why don't we thrive during them and learn something new and actually feel like you've achieved something? So if we apply this to our photography, it's an ideal time to work on it, to spend some time improving and working out where we'd like to be with it. But that can be easier said than done. So I'm going to guide you through this. And a great place to start is with knowing where you are currently. So what's going well with your photography and what's stopping you moving forward? Now, as I go through the different areas, perhaps you'd like to write down anything that you would like to work on, and then you can revisit it later and decide which of these you could turn into photography goals for the year. So let's look first at camera settings and confidence with using your camera. Do you know everything that you currently need to know to get the technical elements of your picture right? Do you know how to get a sharp, correctly exposed shot where the colours look good? Do you know how to check if the exposure is correct? Have you overexposed areas? Have you underexposed it? Is it beyond rescue or is it something that you could edit later? And do you know how to adjust the exposure if you think you have got it wrong? Do you know how to change the depth of field using your f-numbers? And for different situations, do you know roughly what the f-number should be? Which one should you choose? Once you're getting comfortable with using the f-numbers shooting in aperture priority mode, you should have a rough idea of what f-number you should use in different situations. For example, if you're shooting a portrait, if you're shooting a flower, if you're shooting a landscape, etc., you should have roughly an idea of where you should start, even if you're going to adjust and fine-tune afterwards. Do you know what your shutter speed should be for different situations? So, for example, a child toddling along, a dog running, a bird flying, those sort of more common everyday situations, are you comfortable that you know exactly what your shutter speed should be? Do you know if you should be using JPEG or RAW? Do you understand the difference between the two? And do you know what the implications are if you change from JPEG to RAW? Is it for you? Do you know what settings to use for fast action? Like, for example, again, birds flying, dogs running towards you, children running around. Do you know all the settings that you would need to apply to make sure that you're going to have some good images at the end of the child or the dog or whatever frozen in motion? And how confident are you at changing settings quickly so that you don't miss a shot? Now, lots of you will be at all sorts of different stages within your technical settings and your confidence on your camera. If you're at the point where you more or less know what you're doing with those settings, it's really going to help you be able to start addressing the other areas like composition and light and not worrying about what setting your camera is on, whether you're going to miss the shot, whether you're going to get it wrong. So it's a good idea to go back to all those basics and make sure that you're comfortable with all those areas. And if not, pick some of them, perhaps the ones that are the biggest stumbling blocks, and set them to be some of your goals for 2021. If you have more or less got a good understanding of the basic settings for your camera, then you're doing really well and you could be considered, you could class yourself as an intermediate photographer. And perhaps you're looking to learn new skills in 2021. You'd like to learn to shoot in manual, for example, and give you more control in tricky situations. Perhaps you'd like to stop playing it safe and start to work with tricky light, work with more interesting backgrounds. It can be very easy to stay within your comfort zone once you've mastered perhaps the key settings and think, okay, I know how to take a portrait in good, even, safe light. I know I can get a good picture with movement frozen, no blur, nice soft background, but we can always push ourselves to get an even better portrait. So perhaps you could plan to go out when you know the light's going to be amazing. You could look to see when golden hour is going to be and plan to go to a particular location where the background's going to be nice or where there's lots of opportunity to stage great photographs. Perhaps you'd like to work more with the view to getting black and white pictures. Perhaps you'd like to work with long exposures and start doing things like blurring water on waterfalls or in seascapes, etc. Or perhaps just, again, branching out away from your safety zone, you'd like to try some new genres. Maybe you'd like to give it a go at street photography or food photography. Or perhaps you've been mulling it over for a while that you'd like to go professional. These are big goals, some of them, but why not set them for 2021? Now, chances are for most of you, one of the things that you're really struggling with is getting in the practice that will help you improve in all of these areas, because mainly the opportunity to go out to visit new places isn't there for most of us at the moment, and you're really struggling with new ideas and motivating yourself to pick up your camera. But let's come back to that in a moment. What about equipment? Are you happy with everything that you're using? We've talked about camera settings and things, but the lenses that you've got, do you know what they're all really capable of? Perhaps you're thinking about buying a macro lens, for example, but you haven't actually used your kit lens to photograph as close up as it can get. It's not the same as having a macro lens, but you'd be surprised how close you can photograph with a kit lens. And you may come to realise that actually it's not a macro lens that you need, and perhaps you could spend your money on something else. If you're thinking of doing long exposure photography, close-up flowers, things like that, be getting into food photography, then a tripod would be a good buy. Perhaps that's something that you could look at to help you achieve your goals in 2021. Moving to a new area now, how good is your composition? Ask yourself quite honestly. I would say that chances are you know when you've taken a winning shot because you feel proud inside. You can't wait to edit it and share it with other people. I know that that's how I feel when I know I've got a truly good shot that's good for me. But was it a happy accident or was it more intentional? Do you know why that shot worked and others didn't work? Could you realistically recreate the situation where you got that good shot, or have you not got a clue as to how everything came together and made it just right for that one shot? Linked to this, are you able to realistically critique your own images? So you've taken this good shot, you know it's fantastic, but are you able to work out what's made it good? Why has it worked? What particular aspects of that shot have made it powerful? Being able to critique your own images is a really, really useful skill. Try to get into the habit of doing this more often with your own shots and those of other people, the ones that you really like. It won't be long before you've obtained some really great learning points that you can put into practice without even really thinking about it when you're taking your own shots. Let's turn now to what makes a great photograph. What is it about a particular picture that causes it to make people stop in their tracks and to have a real reaction to it, whether it's wow or some other emotion? And that's the actual key there, that a good photograph, a truly good one, will evoke an emotional reaction in the people that look at it. So even, I'm not just talking about the sort of award-winning press images where you feel saddened or rage or something really deep and strong about something in the news. I'm talking about our daily shots as well, perhaps when you've taken an image of your child and the image really reflects somehow how you absolutely love your child and how proud you are of her in that moment. With that type of shot, the whole reason you're taking that image is partly to be able to capture a moment and remember for yourself in the future what your child was like at that age, but also to proudly show other people how you feel about your child. And you want other people to feel a similar emotion to you. Let's look at food photography, for example, which a lot of you know is a key area of mine. What's the point of a food photograph if it doesn't make your mouth water, or if it doesn't make you want to rush out and buy that particular thing or cook that particular recipe? So that a good food image evokes a response, it evokes hunger or thirst or a desire to do something, to take action. A good flower photograph will make you appreciate, truly appreciate the beauty of that flower. And if you've seen a flower that you think it looks absolutely beautiful, then think about how you're photographing it. Have you taken a picture and then looked at it and thought, that's really not doing it, it's a bit meh, it's a bit average, it's just another picture of a flower? If so, how could you do it differently? Could you wait until the light's better? Could you change your angle? Could you zoom in closer and capture some of the stunning detail of it? Will it help when you've edited it afterwards to bring out some of that detail and the richness of the colour? Another way in which photographs can cause a viewer to spend more time looking at them or make more of an impression on them is if they tell a story. So for example, just bear with me for a moment, I'll conjure up a bit of a scene here. You're looking at an image and you can feel how wintry and cold and gloomy and misty the scene is. It actually makes you feel kind of a bit cold and it's twilight. And within the image, there's a silhouette of a man, and it's his back and he's walking away from you. His shoulders are hunched against the cold and he's got his faithful dog and companion trotting faithfully at his side, and in the distance is the small warm glow of a window. Now that image conveys a story. It's not just a photograph of a man and a dog in the snow. That kind of image will capture the viewer's imagination more than just a simple snapshot that doesn't really give you anywhere for your imagination to go, or it doesn't really communicate with you. Now, not all images do tell a story. That's absolutely fine. I mean, I've got a really cute picture of one of our dogs on the wall in the studio, and it's got no context to it whatsoever. It's a black and white close-up of his lovely face, big eyes, and you have no idea where he is, whether it's night, day, winter, summer, you know, nothing about him other than these big eyes looking cute. But that's absolutely fine, because that picture is working on an emotional level. But I've also got a picture in the studio of our two dogs chasing each other. One's chasing the other, quite comical really. He looks like Roadrunner. His back legs are in front of his front legs. And there's a very simple story going on there. You know that those dogs are having a whale of a time on the beach in the sunshine chasing each other. And they're in the dunes. And that's a very simple, straightforward story, but it still causes an emotional response in the people that look at it. They smile and invariably they say, oh, how cute. So one of your objectives for 2021 could be to ensure that your photographs, the ones that you want to really matter, either cause an emotional reaction with the people looking at them, or tell a story, a simple story, or both, and start to become more critical of yourself and assess your images and see if they really are having some kind of impact or forming a connection with the viewer. And if they're not, why are you taking them? If it's just for a record shot for you, then that's absolutely fine. I mean, not all images, of course, are, you know, award-winning wow shots. Some of them we just record them so that we don't forget that moment. But if you're an aspiring photographer and you're wanting to improve what you're doing, then you will definitely want to be looking at this area where you are causing people to look at your images for longer, to feel an affinity with them, to feel what you felt when you were taking that shot, and to understand what you were trying to say. Linked to the previous area of telling a story and communicating an emotion with people is, of course, composition. And would you say that you currently find it quite easy to instinctively see a good shot and shoot it? Or are you the sort of person that needs to work at this a little bit more and learn some composition techniques? Now, I know in my teaching, I come across all sorts of different people, and I come across lots of people who haven't got a clue how to use their camera or their phone, but they've got a great creative eye. And then at the other end of the scale, I'll come across people who can use their camera. They're technically so strong, but they really struggle to see and capture a good photograph. And then occasionally I see people who are lucky and have got both of those skills nailed, which is fantastic. Now, I would put myself in the category of I instinctively see a good shot, but I've had to work really hard over the years at honing my photography technical skills. It didn't come easy to me at all. I really struggled at first to grasp f-numbers, ISO, and some of the more technical things. And even nowadays, if people start talking about the construction of a lens, start talking about hyperfocal distances and having to calculate stuff and bringing mathematics into it, then that just turns me off. It's not what I am about. But what I would say to you really is, if you're one of those people that struggles with the technical aspects, don't worry. If I can do it, you can do it. It just takes time and practice. And with the process that I've been trying to get you to go through today, you've been trying to identify the areas where you feel that you are exposed and you have got weaknesses, and make a vow to yourself to work on those areas this year. At the moment, they're probably barriers to you moving forward, but if you can sort those barriers, remove them, that's when you can move on to the area of really being creative with your photography and not be bogged down with, am I on the right setting, have I underexposed this picture, etc. There are lots of different ways that you can learn about composition. Lots of really good books out there, and lots of YouTube videos as well. I found that a lot of my students learn about composition really well if I get them to focus on one particular technique for a while. So, for example, in Love Your Lens, we will perhaps work on the rule of thirds for a month, and then do some critique of what works, has worked and what hasn't worked, and then for next month we'll move on to another category, perhaps leading lines or triangles or whatever. And I think it is a really good exercise, because if you're not careful, you fall into a bit of a rut of using the same compositional techniques all the time. And it's great to have an awareness of how you can make your image communicate better with people and could kind of lead their eye through the image and make them see what you want them to see by strengthening your composition. I found, for example, that I was playing it safe all the time and tending to use the same style and the same techniques, and when I was actually trying to look through my archive to demonstrate things like triangles and symmetry and some other rules and perhaps framing, using frames in your image, I found that I'd got very few examples of them. So I wasn't using all of the tools at my disposal. So it was a really interesting exercise for me as well. Another big area is editing. I'm a firm believer that editing is a really key stage of the process, and in my mind there are three stages in photography when you're capturing an image, creating a great image, and the first stage is seeing the image, so having that creative eye and being able to see the light, see the angle, and work out what is going to make a great shot. The second stage is capturing it with all the right settings, the right lens, zooming in, zooming out, using the right focal length, the right aperture, etc. And then the third stage is editing and really making the most of what you've captured in camera and strengthening it and optimizing it. So when you look at an image that you've taken, do you know what needs editing or fixing about it? Do you know where to start? Do you know which software or apps you could use that would suit you to edit with? There are lots and lots out there, but do you kind of feel a bit daunted by them all and feel like perhaps if you're not using Lightroom or you're not using Photoshop that you're not You know, you're not a real photographer, you're just playing about, which, by the way, I don't believe in. I believe that everybody should use what suits them best and gives them the results that they need. Whatever software or apps you use, do you know how to use them? Are you actually learning how to use them, or are you just using the same three or four straightforward tools all the time, like cropping, brightening, darkening, you know, saturating the colour a little bit more? Is there far more to that particular piece of software that you could actually learn and do more with? Doesn't matter if the answer to that is no. Some people don't want to go beyond, you know, those basic edits, and they'll still be getting great results. If you're not getting great results, that's when you really need to start looking at, you know, learning some new skills and admitting to yourself that actually, well, okay, I'm not quite cutting it at the moment. I do need to up my game a bit and learn some new areas. Another area is with editing is, do you know when you've gone too far or when you've not done enough? What's just right? And what's just right for you may not be what's just right for another person. So, you know, it's quite a complex area, really. But when you have done a lot of editing, you get to the point much more easily where you go, fine, that's it, I'm stopping now. I've optimized that image. I don't want to go any further. And I know I've now got it to how I want it to look. But that's with all of this that I've been talking about today, so much of it is about practice. If you're not getting that practice in, if you're not taking the pictures, if you're not editing the pictures, you're not going to move forward. Moving on to another area now, which is also a big topic and quite hard to pin down, actually. Do you think you've got a style, and do you want one? I'm sure you can look at other people's images and instinctively know that that's their photograph. You look at people in the Love Your Lens group and go, oh, yep, that's so-and-so's image, definitely. This is an area, it is so hard to pin down. I find it hard with my own images as well. I do believe I've got a style, but I believe it evolves all the time, and that what it is now is not what it was 2 years ago, and it's not what it'll be in 3 years' time. There may be elements of it, definitely. I'm not suddenly going to change completely, but this is something that evolves with experience, with your general preferences in life. I mean, lots of people will say to me, I don't have a style. I really don't. I don't know what I like. I don't know what I like shooting. I'm really not sure where to start. But your style will come from other areas of your life as well. So if, for instance, you're somebody that has decorated your home in quite muted tones and you like kind of quite minimalist stuff, it probably leaks into your photography as well. And, you know, so some of the things I don't like about fashion is too much detail, too many pleats, too much fuss, too many tassels and things like that. And I'm sure that that manifests itself in my photography as well. One of the ways that you can start with working out whether you currently have a style and is it what you want would be by looking at some of your favourite shots. So look back over perhaps 10 or 12 shots that you've taken that you really, really like. You're super proud of them, and see if you can find any common points amongst them. Is there a common colour? Do they feature a lot of texture? Are they all close up? Are they all taken from a similar angle? Are they black and white? Lots of different. What I would suggest is you just write down some words that jump out at you as you look at those images. And is this then something that you would like to work on and develop in 2021? An area that, although hard to pin down, you could do a lot of reading about it. And again, the more you practice your photography and learn things and move forward, the more likely you are to develop that style without even realizing that you're doing so. And I believe as well that this is linked to understanding what you really feel passionate about photography wise. What do you really enjoy photographing? What would have you, if you knew you were doing it next week, what would have you planning, researching, getting your cameras out, cleaning your lenses, making sure your batteries were charged up and everything, and really looking forward to it to the point where you almost can't sleep because you're going to be going to do this particular thing. Say you had booked a course and you were going to go and do landscape photography in the Lake District, or you were going on holiday to Machu Picchu or somewhere like that, and you know, you're so excited about it. Or on a much smaller scale, for example, me, I can't wait to be out of lockdown and be able to go to the coast, maybe to the beautiful town of Conwy in Wales, and looking around, hoping there's a street market with food and lots of detail, and photographing street signs and little details that capture a sense of the town, then buying some food, cooking it and photographing it. That would be my dream day out at the moment. And one of the reasons I'd know that I'm so excited about that is because, again, when I've taken those shots, I can't wait to go through them, pick out the best ones, edit them and start showing them to people. If you can work out what it is that really ignites your passion or makes your heart sing about photography and which genres, then that's where I would imagine that you will see your style coming out, and also that is where you will find that you're doing your best work as well, because you're really passionate about it and you want to do it well and you care about it. Okay, so we've covered quite a lot over the last sort of 20 minutes or so, and hopefully by now you've got quite a list of areas that you would like to work on, and some of them might overlap. But the starting point now should be trying to prioritise which ones will have the biggest impact. For example, if there's something that's technically stopping you moving forward, get that sorted, get past it, and get to the point where you can start really enjoying your photography. Which ones are the ones that are really easy to tick off? They're quite small and you could just get them done. And then you're going to have longer term goals as well that you know are going to perhaps happen over the course of the year, and some might be nice to have that you put on the back burner for another year. But if you can get to the point now where you've prioritized your goals and you've perhaps got, I would say, something like 4 to 6 goals, then I think that's a really good starting point for 2021. You don't have too many, because basically you won't get them done. It'll be like those New Year's resolutions that you know, you start off with all good intentions and then you lose the will to live with them. Whatever you decide your goals are, make sure that you give them a deadline. So, you know, something like learning how to use Lightroom, for example, you might give yourself 3 to 4 months to do that, depending on your time, your availability, etc., because that one's going to take a while to do. Whereas something else you might be able to do within a few weeks, and then others, as I've said, you'll have them down for the whole year in order to achieve them. Make sure that you can do your goals, you can achieve your goals within the current restrictions, with the free time that you have at your disposal and your budget. And also write down at least one way that you're going to achieve that goal. So, for example, if you're going to learn how to use Lightroom, how are you going to do that? Are you going to sign up for an online course? Are you going to watch YouTube videos? Are you going to ask a friend who knows a lot about it to give you perhaps some insight into at least getting started? And then write these goals down with their deadlines and with that note about how you're going to achieve them, and keep coming back to them. I want to come back to an area now that I touched on at the beginning when I was talking about it being locked down and we're very restricted about what we can't do at the moment. I can't go and travel to the coast, for example, so, you know, I'm very limited with what I can do around the house. I mean, I perhaps it's a little bit easier for me because if I don't pick my camera up, I don't get paid. So I'm making myself do the food photography, create example videos of things for people so that I'm teaching. But perhaps for you, could you think of a project that you can achieve at the moment, or that you could start in perhaps a month's time when restrictions might be eased? I mean, I can't go out and take new photographs at the moment, particularly, you know, out and about, as I've said, at the coast. But what I can do is go through last year's images and I can pick out my favourites and I can edit them. I could write a blog with them. I could get some printed and framed. And in fact, I did do that last year from a trip I made to Cornwall. And every day I look at those images and really enjoy them. And I'm very, very pleased and proud that they're hanging on the wall. Or perhaps you could start an Instagram account for your pleasure, which I would say actually for anyone who's really interested in photography is a great idea, because it is the platform, social media platform for imagery, and it's very rewarding somehow to see your own images there as you build up your grid on your feed. And also you will see so much to inspire you on Instagram, particularly as you start to follow people and Instagram starts to understand what you're interested in. You will get so many different ideas and inspiring projects and things that you will, you know, will want to make you move forward. And don't think that just because you are stuck where you are at home at the moment that you can't work on your photography. I've set my Your Lens Academy group a project at the moment called Home, and the images are absolutely amazing. In fact, I will share some of them within the Love Your Lens group. So people taking pictures of really simple things, household appliances, the iron, the washing, just very simple things, doorknobs, things around the home, hooks to hang coats on. And by doing so, they are constantly exercising their creative muscle, practicing their technical skills and honing their editing skills, even whilst they can't particularly go anywhere and see anything new. And I would really advise, recommend that for you. So also make sure that you're active in whichever photography groups you like, whether it's Love Your Lens or other ones, because in that way you're going to be talking photography, seeing things, and keep that creative spark alive. Don't divorce yourself completely from photography. And slightly linked to this, and constantly a bugbear of mine, don't be daunted or put off by how good other people are. If we lived our whole lives by that, we'd never do anything, would we? We wouldn't, I don't know, we'd never start on a diet because we'd look at other people and say, oh, they're so fit and thin, I'm never going to be like that. So, you know, I always say my mantra is, don't compare yourself to others, compare yourself to you last week, last month, last year. How much have you improved? Because that's all that matters. You're photographing for yourself and for your enjoyment, not, I know there's a lot of comparison does go on in photography and it's easy to get sucked into it, but try not to be. I would never ever have started as a food photographer if all I did was looked at other people's images and thought, wow, they are so good, I can never be that good. I look more now and say, wow, that is such a good image. What can I learn from that? How could I do that? And I have a realistic sense of what I can achieve at the moment and what I won't be able to achieve for perhaps another year or so, and where I would need to get some training and far more practice in order to achieve what those people are achieving. And some stuff I write off completely and say, I'm never going to be able to do that kind of food photography because it's shot in a studio with lots of expensive lights and a team of five people working on styling the shot. So have your expectations realistic and try and learn from what other people are doing rather than just feeling completely daunted by them. Okay, so I'm done with the preaching now. I'd like to finish off just with a little word about the Love Your Lens Academy that I mentioned a few moments ago. If you have set yourself some goals or would like some help defining them for 2021, and you would like more support during this year, moving forward with your photography, whether it's the technical skills, the composition, the editing, etc., have a look at the Love Your Lens Academy on the Love Your Lens website and look at all the ways in which this photography club can help and support you. So you could think of it in a way like a very small, very concentrated version of Love Your Lens, but with bells and whistles on, where you get much more of my time and much more of my coaching to help you identify where you are currently, where you want to get to, and how you can get there. So you will find that you can access live weekly masterclasses where in a group I will have an online Zoom lesson on a particular topic. You can ask questions, you can share your frustrations, your successes with the rest of the group. You can also have critique of images, and you could also have one-to-one Zooms with me as well monthly. So we've got about 14 members at the moment, and the group's been going for well over 6 months, and we're seeing some really, really great results in that group. It's very friendly, very helpful, supportive community, and I'd love to see you in there if you feel that it's something that you're ready for and that feels right for you in 2021. And again, the group is for all levels. I've got people in there who have come in and I'm just teaching them how to get off auto and shoot in aperture priority, and I've got people in there who have been shooting in manual for a number of years but are honing now their composition and their editing skills. And you know, in the group forum, there's no difference between everybody. We're all there to learn and improve. So thank you very much for listening to this podcast today. I hope it's been useful, and I wish you luck with your photography in 2021.